And welcome back to Coast, where we have a couple hours now of open lines for you and lots to talk about. We do these midweek open lines on a Tuesday or a Wednesday now. We've been doing it for several months, and lots of folks like it. Some of you prefer guests all the time, but this is a good way to have you sound off about things that are going on all around this planet, maybe even the universe. So I'll let you check in with us. I have a 22-year-old granddaughter. She was our first, and she just turned 22. And she's at that age now, you know, and I've seen her grow up since she was a baby. But she's at that age now where she's very inquisitive about the political scene, about the environment, just about everything. And it's heartwarming to see somebody that age so concerned and so interested. But at the same time, gosh, I want to make sure that we all leave a great planet for people that are that young. And so one of the things I want to talk with you about in open lines is I want you to share with us what you think the state of this world is and whether you think we're going to win this battle against some of this craziness that's out there. Friday night, by the way, the guy from Pittsburgh joins us with his report. You'll see it on the website and you'll hear it on the program about why he believes people are just whacked out right now. So let's get to your calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome back to a couple hours of open lines where you sound off. So let's go right to the phones. We've got Casey truck driving in California. Casey, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hi, yeah. I just want to really give a shout out. Tell you, I really appreciate listening to your show.
It well, thanks, Casey.
Time go by a lot quicker.
Where do you truck drive to?
Right now, I'm just truck driving in Northern California, but I'm normally in Southern California as a local driver.
Ah, what do you deliver?
Oh, bread. I used to be on another fleet for Walmart for another company, and that was just very stressful.
How do you like working at night?
It's much better, less traffic. You can see the stars out.
It's peaceful. You can do your own thing. People aren't there to bother you.
Exactly. And it's just nice to just listen to your show and just cruise down the road.
Every night when I leave Los Angeles to go home, the show in our L.A. studios, I go by a Subway shop, and there's always a truck driver there supplying the Subway, but you know, at 2:30 in the morning, and you could tell he just loves it because he's all by himself.
Oh yeah, and like right now where I'm at, you can smell the onions and garlic in the fields. So I'm cruising through farmland.
That's great. Okay, well, you keep driving, Casey, and be safe.
Thank you. Bye.
You got it. It's kind of nice. You know, truck drivers are out there. Law enforcement people listen to us religiously in record numbers. We have, I'm going to tell you this, the highest prisoner population listenership. Hey, you prisoners, I hope all is well and you get that second chance when you get out. You don't get many chances, so good luck to all of you who have committed crimes that are rehabilitatable, I guess, if you could say that. Rehabilitation. I make up my own words sometimes. Michael in Virginia Beach. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. In relation to, reference to last night's interview with Tom Horn,
yeah,
I sent you a text at 11:56 Los Angeles time.
Okay.
Now, that text has four Bible verse references. And I'm just going to list them real quickly. Nobody's going to have time to write it down unless, you know, they're on, unless they can go back and get it off of
Streamlink,
your sure. Website.
Sure.
But here are the verses. Revelation, and the first one is Luke 10:18. In that verse, Jesus equates lightning with Satan falling from heaven. Now, this is in reference to the lightning that struck the Vatican twice on the day that Pope Benedict resigned.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
Yeah, now here's the next one. So the first one, as I said, was Luke 10:18. Then you go to Revelation 12:13, Revelation 22:3, Revelation 20:10. Now, all those verses make clear that Satan doesn't want to be confined to earth. He wants to be aloft in heaven. And they make clear that when he is defeated by humans, by human power, he gets cast down as lightning.
Can he be defeated by human power?
Absolutely. In fact, he must be defeated by human power. That's one thing that's revealed in the scriptures. So I was a little disappointed in Tom Horn last night. But here's the other thing. Your buddy, Clyde Lewis,
mm-hmm.
did a broadcast 3 days after Pope Benedict resigned. His guest that night was the producer of an HBO documentary in which it was announced at the end of the documentary that the principals behind it would seek the arrest and carriage to International Court of Pope Benedict.
Wow.
Now, that documentary aired less than 24 hours before Benedict resigned.
They were ready.
So, you said it absolutely right there, George.
No. They were ready. Michael, thanks for the call. And we do get texts. As Michael was just saying, he texts us. Tom has the text phone. I don't have it. Tom, what do we have tonight?
I keep it here. I first got to tell you that that's probably the funniest thing of the week, rehabilitatable.
Rehabilitatable.
That was good. So, Greg in Kansas City, what do you think about the crazy going-ons in the world, shootings, etc.? Is this really end times, like some people say, or is it just people acting out that are mentally disturbed?
I think that there are a lot of strange mental people who have strange ideologies. It does seem to be happening more and more than it did during my era as a younger person.
Oh, yeah.
And yours, too. I mean, you're no spring chicken anymore, Tom.
I sure am.
And you're more like a spring rooster. But it's just, I there's just something I can't put my finger on, but it's this planet is topsy-turvy, and I don't know how we're going to get a handle on it.
Do you know, my dad retired as an L.A. policeman sergeant in 1964.
I would have loved to have met him.
Great stories. He drew his gun once in like 15 years.
Well,
that's
amazingly low.
Compared to, well, like you were just saying, compared to what happens now.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a mess. All right, thanks, Tom. We'll look forward to the next text. We do a text each half hour, so we've got three more to go. So even though we get a lot, it may be yours. Let's go to Debbie in the Bronx. Hello, Debbie. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, George. How are you?
Fine. Hope you are, too.
Yes, I'm doing well. George, the way we're going to get through this is through the power of goodness. I've been receiving a message that the double O's, the true double O, human heroes, and I'm referring to the baby boomers, second generation.
Mm-hmm.
First generation, they're already, they're not as strong as the second generation is. When the second generation baby boomers actually decide to stand up, get together, and do what it is that is expected of them, if they actually dare go out in public and do what is expected of them, then things will start to turn around. We have souls that are infected. We have different types of species that are walking this earth. And so long as those that have faith continue to keep their heads buried in the ground, waiting for the next person to do it, nothing will change.
And it could get worse.
Yes, but I have faith. I have faith. I know where I'm at. I'm doing everything I can.
I mean, I feel so sorry for these people in airports, in restaurants, in nightclubs, where these whack jobs go in and do this. I mean, I just don't get, the mindset of somebody whose names will be forgotten, who killed themselves. Can you, they've got to be drugged up. There's no doubt in my mind they can't be going in there sane. They've got to be drugged up if they're going to pull a vest bomb and blow themselves up, shatter their rib cage, and they're gone. Instant history. They got to be drugged up. Because what person in their right mind would do that? And for what? Nothing gets done. 41 people shot to death in the Istanbul airport. Why? Walt in Pennsylvania. Hey, Walt, take it away.
Mr. Noori, once again, I'm honored to speak with you.
Thank you, Walter.
Well, yeah, from listening to your commentary about your adolescence, I think we have very similar backgrounds. I was born, baptized, raised, and largely educated in the Roman Catholic Church. But I don't know about you, but I've inevitably become what might be termed a quote-unquote atheistic agnostic.
Well, I'm not. No, I'm a believer, but I don't go to Catholic Church like I used to in the old days. There are reasons for that. Don't necessarily want to get into them right now, but I am very spiritual, Walt.
Well, I think the problem with all of this, rather than labeling these Islamic terrorists as radicals or extremists, what we might say is that they are Islamic creationists. They believe that Allah created this world, you know, so that we should institute Sharia law and, you know, live happily ever after under the aegis of Allah, which is very similar to what the Judeo-Christians believe, that Yahweh/Jehovah created, you know, the world and established his law. I think that all these gods there's a $15 word, George, called anthropomorphism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Oh, sure am.
The anthropomorphic question is, did the gods create man in his own image and likeness, or was it vice versa? Is it not much more probable and likely that man created all of these myriad gods?
And what about this ideology, Walt, though, of blowing yourself up, killing all these innocent people? For what? That's not going to change government's policy toward the Middle East, toward them, or anything else.
Well, it's due to religious brainwashing, George. It's very similar to the Japanese during World War II, the kamikazes. They were Shintoists.
Yes, you're right.
When they got in those planes, they were told, you know, they sacrificed their lives and they were going right to, you know, to Valhalla, to heaven. So, like I say, it's history repeats.
No doubt about it, but now it's extreme. It really is. Walt, thanks for the call. Open lines here on Coast to Coast. Let's go to our first-time caller, Raymond, in Colorado. Hello, Raymond.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got a question. You know, a while back, you guys, I know I heard your radio a few times, we were talking about mass prayer,
mm-hmm.
and how it helps. You know,
it does help.
Like
it works. I've seen it work.
Okay, you know, I got a request for you. You know, I've been sick for 53 days right now.
What's wrong?
I had an adverse reaction to ibuprofen. I know it sounds funny, but it attacked my nervous system. I haven't been able to eat.
Oh, my God. How much did you take?
I took it for 9 days because I tore my labrum to my shoulder.
Like every 4 or 5 hours or what?
I took it twice a day.
Twice a day.
400 milligrams and 400 milligrams. And I've been sick ever since. I can't eat. I have a hard time sleeping. I just don't feel good.
And the doctors say it's because of that?
Yeah. I did blood work and everything, and they said if I would have went in right away, they would have tried to, they would have gave me Benadryl to go through the process because of the adverse reaction. But I didn't, I was a healthy guy. I didn't think nothing of it. I thought maybe since I stopped taking it, it would go away.
Well, let's put you on the prayer list, Raymond, and hope something works for you.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was asking for. I heard, when I heard your story about the mass prayers, I was thinking that has to work. That's all I've been thinking about, you know, this last couple of days.
Well, and, you know, as Dr. Joanne Conaway was talking about, the gut. Take some probiotics. Maybe that'll help you, too.
All right.
All right? We're not doctors, but nothing, it won't hurt you, that's for sure. Jeff in Ferguson, Missouri. Jeffrey, you weren't at my event. You didn't come up and say hi.
Yeah, I didn't go to anything that week, and we had car problems the night before.
We would have had some tickets for you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I couldn't get there, so.
Oh, okay. Well, we would have sent an Uber for you.
Thank you. I want to comment with your commentary about the people who attacked the Istanbul airport.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. They don't have to be drugged or anything like that. Whether it's radicalized religion or right left radicalization, it's the mindset that influences people. So it's not so much drugs; it's what they get you to. Almost like brainwashing.
They are brainwashed, and I would think most of these people who do these things were kids, and they're brainwashed from some young age to where they are now.
And it doesn't have to be radical Islam or radical whatever other religion, or it can be radical environmentalism, like the people who blow up those building complexes and all that.
Yeah. Do you think they hypnotize these people?
No, I just think over time they got influenced by just reading stuff, talking to the other people, just got radicalized over time.
Sad. It's got to end, though, Jeff. It's getting out of hand.
And well, maybe we'll come back. I'll call back another time.
All right. You be careful. That's Jeff in Ferguson, Missouri. Let's go to Kevin in Vancouver, Canada. Hi, Kev. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just wanted to share my opinion. I was over there in Afghanistan, and I just saw how the people operated and how they what they did. And I truly believe it's a source of good and evil. That's what we're fighting.
Because there are some good people there.
Oh, definitely. I met people over there. Totally, from my translator to his family to other peoples that I had to deal with, there is totally good people out there. But it's just like any society that's good and evil in every country on the earth.
Yeah, no, you're right. That constant battle between good and evil, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. We're going to come back in a moment. We've got more open lines for you for the rest of the night, and we've got some great shows for you for the rest of the week. Linda Moulton Howe joins us tomorrow with some incredible stories, and then we're going to go into the darker side on Friday and have some fun. And we're going to be live for you all Independence Day weekend. Okay, live program Saturday. I'll be on Sunday. I'll be on Monday night. But we'll be back with more calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And good morning, George Norrie back with you. You are listening to the number one rated late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to Brock in Washington State. Hello, Brock. Take it away.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure
just,
thing.
Just curious if everybody else believes that it's cheaper to send our poultry and stuff overseas or different countries to slaughter it. What's happening between here and wherever it goes and then coming back? I mean, you know, we always, I don't know how I would even save a dollar. You know, I mean, I used to run scrap for, you know, big trucking company, and just all the scrap metal that's going to go overseas was, they put it on ships, but the ships, when they got held up for a day, it was like $100,000.
Jeez.
How's it going to be cheaper to send our poultry or meat anywhere else to get processed?
And then we bring it back?
And then we bring it back, and then we sell it in the stores.
That's crazy. God knows what they do with it when it's over there.
Yeah, what's going to happen between here and there? You know, you never know.
No,
I mean,
you don't.
Sit here, you got Fukushima leaking into the ocean. You know, it's going through radiation and all that good stuff.
I didn't know they did that. How long have they been doing that?
That's what they're trying to do right now. You haven't heard that they're trying to ship our poultry over?
No, I'm going to check into that. That's crazy.
It is. It is, and they say it's gonna make it cheaper. I don't know how it works. Like I said, you know.
That does. Yeah. Oh man, nothing makes sense anymore, Brock.
Yeah. Well, bless you. Have a good evening.
Okay. Take care of yourself. Let's go to Julie in Nebraska. Hello, Julie. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be able to get on. I tried to call last night when Tom Horn and
Chris Putnam
were on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can probably answer this as well as they could, since you sound like you're a good Catholic. You know, that thing that they were referring to when they said the Pope was on TV, I may have heard this wrong, but I thought they said the Pope said something on TV about wanting to baptize E.T. when we finally make contact with them.
I didn't see that. I heard parts of that. What I think the Pope was talking about is the possibility that they would be, that he would love to baptize extraterrestrials.
Yeah. But, you know, my mind, I guess I just always have to think things out to the nth degree. But I was thinking, well, that kind of sounds to me like something that I had been thinking about. When I first started listening to all this stuff, I was raised to be very religious, and then I kind of got away from it and studied world religions, mm-hmm. and I came back just kind of spiritually. But it almost sounds like he knows something that we don't know. I mean, I was feeling guilty because I thought maybe this is not the right thing to do, to be into all this ET stuff, because it's almost like saying they're more powerful than God. I mean, not really, but it sort of is. I have all these health problems. I'm in a wheelchair and everything, and sometimes I get so mad at God, I started saying to the ETs, would you guys come and heal me, because God's not doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I hear people calling, and I really don't mean that, although I'd take it if they would. But anyway, it sounds like, I mean, the Pope wouldn't say that if he hadn't thought about the fact that the extraterrestrials were created by God, too, right?
Of course, everything was. Whatever God is, whatever it is,
right?
It's the supreme being.
Right, that's how I feel, too, but I just call it God because it's easier, you know. We all know what we're talking about when we say God, hopefully.
How long have you been in a wheelchair now, Julie?
Just for 2 years, but I've been disabled for 15 years. I was on a cane for 12 years or so.
Have you had, like, your knees and hips replaced, too?
No, I have a weird, I have three different kinds of arthritis, and then I have this weird thing in my hip that a lot of orthopedists haven't even heard of it. It took them years to figure out what it was, and nobody knows what to do with it. It's ridiculous, because I was a very productive, healthy, active person, and I don't even have a life anymore, you know. I was a psychotherapist for 20 years.
Were you? Wow.
Tennis, yeah, in St. Louis, as a matter of fact.
Well, you and I must know the same spots here.
I think so, because I also lived in Southern California. And then I thought, well, next thing you know, I'm going to hear that he's in Denver half the time, because I went to school in Denver, and then I heard you talking about doing that.
Yeah, we're all over the map together.
But anyway, yeah, I really was wondering about that. Well, the Pope, I think he knows a lot more than
he tells us.
Think he knows.
Yeah, I think
so. That just made me feel so good, because even though I'm not Catholic, ever since the first time I laid eyes on him, it just really struck me. And my mom said the same thing, too, and she was raised by a minister. You know, my grandfather was a Protestant minister, so there's something about him that's different.
All right, Julie. Thanks for still keep listening for us.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much.
Sure thing. Tom, you got a text for me back there in the studio?
We do, from Sasha in South Carolina.
Sasha.
I went to get a reading from a psychic, and she said that she sees my death from an airplane.
Oh, my God.
Should I take any stock in what she says?
You know what? I got to tell you, not many psychics would have the guts to tell you something like that. That's weird.
Would you not fly if somebody said that to you? I can't believe you're thinking about this.
I think I would fly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's disjarring. You don't want to hear that from anybody.
Oh, no, of course not. But
you want one of our psychics who's on the air to pick up the phone and call you one day and say, Tom, I have a premonition that you're going to be dead soon? I mean, you don't want to hear that.
I don't want that, but I definitely have maybe two or three that I can think of that I do not want to hear that from.
Because they're good.
Because
they're accurate, right?
Well, I'm not saying everybody's not accurate. I'm just saying there are certain ones that are more accurate. Let's put it that way.
So you don't want to hear it from them, right?
Right.
You want to hear it from the guy who's not too accurate.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. As they said in Apollo, what was it, Apollo 11, as they were going up there, how do you feel that we are in a spaceship built by the lowest bidder?
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Now let's go to the Netherlands Skype caller. Marcus is with us. Hello, our friend. How are you?
Good morning, George. I'm doing okay. How about you?
Good. Now, what time is it there now?
It is around 10.
10 o'clock in the morning. Okay.
Yeah.
You're ahead of us. What's the big news out in the Netherlands? The EU?
Oh, I got some big news, George.
Okay. What do you have for us?
Well, there's two sides to this story. You have the political story.
Mm-hmm.
What I discovered, not through the mainstream, and according to very reliable sources, is that this was a money thing. And now, imagine that this guest of yours this week told about the banks having lost a lot of money.
Yes.
But what he didn't mention was that there was a bet on this thing. And so the people who got played by the mainstream, because they have been spewing this information about that they would stay. And so everyone betting on this, but the people in the know betted on the leave situation. And some people got very rich this week. Now, there's another side to this story. That is the story of the people. We the people. Because now is what I'm getting through the mainstream. And I saw images and videos of within England, that after this was a fact that people are now pulling the race card, the racist card.
Yeah. Well, they do that here sometimes too.
Yeah, but after this, people are getting arguments, fights in buses, because they see someone and they are like, yeah, you're supposed to leave. We won. Get out of our country.
What is your crime rate like, Marcus, out there?
Here in the Netherlands?
Yeah. Is it low?
It is. It depends on which the subject you're talking about. But in the Netherlands, we're doing pretty good. It's pretty low.
Do they allow guns in terms of ownership?
In some cases, but not as you have.
Okay, not as lenient as we have.
No, and about end times, I had listened to Tom Horn and Chris Putnam yesterday.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to say about this is that I've been doing this for a long, long time, and the thing I can't agree on with Tom Horn, although I love my brother, you know, the thing I can't agree on is that we can turn this tide, and the reason is because he had mentioned time, that God has his own time, and if he wants to, he can do what he wants, and if he wants to wait a day, then it would be 1,000 years or so.
Well, I hope, Marcus, that time is a long time away. I really do. Hey, thanks. Let's take a few more calls before the break, and then we'll come back with another hour of open lines. We've got Joey Truck Driving in Kansas City now. Hey, Joey.
Hey, good morning, George. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, last time I talked to you, the first Ghost the Ghost you were on.
My gosh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, you were covering for Art when Art got sick.
Jeez, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's how long I've been listening.
Thanks. So,
anyhow, I just observe a lack of family values and respect. Like, it's unbelievable how it's decline of no thank yous, no please.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Just the other day I was eating dinner at a truck stop, and there's families there. Everybody had their headphones on. Everybody had their iPad. And there was no, you know, family unit. Everybody was just out there, you know. And to watch TV and do the, you know, the cursing on regular TV. It's just like, wow, I could, it would be R-rated back in the 70s.
Oh, my God. They wouldn't allow it. They wouldn't allow it on.
And it just, it blows my mind. You know, I say please to, you know, cashiers. They look at me like I'm not.
Or open a door for somebody.
Oh, my God, they think you're going to rob them. So, but, you know, they're just driving around looking at people. They're just grumpy.
I bet, Joey, because you drive a lot. Do you see a lot of road rage?
Oh, I got, yeah, of course I do. Every day, nobody wants to be around the big trucks. You know, we're holding everybody back. Slow in progress. You know, this is our office. We're not trying to get in front of you and hold you up. I don't go to your office, knock your papers off your desk. We're just trying to stay out of everybody's way.
Yeah, you have to do that.
You know, needless to say, I people shut us off. And so we're 80,000.
Well, and people are so tense and uptight. It's unbelievable. Thanks, Joy. You're going into a little pocket there, so I was losing you a bit. Frank in Wisconsin, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Frank.
Hi, George.
Howdy.
Thank you so much for everything you do.
Well, thank you.
Especially getting me connected with Children International.
Oh, super. That was a couple years ago.
I'm supporting a beautiful young lady.
Good for you.
And it really makes you feel good that you're doing something good for somebody else, you know, especially a young child around the world in the Philippines where, golly, they don't have anything.
They don't have much, that's for sure.
No, no. I think her father makes like $240 a month.
Wow.
The equivalent of our money. It's horrible. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, Harry Truman got condemned for Japan.
Yep.
I really think the only thing we're going to be able to do to stop this thing is use tactical nukes.
You know, I talked about that a couple months ago, and some people sent me these scathing emails saying, how could you think about that? And, you have to do something. I mean, I would send out leaflets and say, children and women, leave, please. You have 2 days.
Yeah.
And then do something. I mean, I still don't get how ISIS is able to run oil fields and nobody's stopping them.
Well, we're going to have to concentrate dropping something in a very highly concentrated area. And where this guy is, this imam or whatever he is, this guy that makes these speeches.
Oh, Baghdadi.
All screwed up, you know.
Yep.
They got to be able to triangulate.
Somebody's financing these people, Frank. Somebody is behind the scenes. I can feel it.
Yeah, probably so.
They are out there. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. Gary in Santa Maria, California. Hi, Gary.
Hi. I wanted to talk about Robert the Haunted Doll and Hiroshima.
All right. What's the tie-in there?
Robert Morningstar said it. It was the Oversoul concept. Jane Roberts talked about Oversoul 7. Well, the day that Hiroshima went off, it was Oversoul 64 and Nagasaki Oversoul 65. That's the 12 sun signs times the 12 moon signs. They go backward and forward in history. Now, that makes it Leo Cancer and Leo Leo. That left a riff in the whole Oversoul concept. Now, the person that had that sign happened to be Jimmy Dean, who worked with Jim Hansen of, you know,
the Muppets,
the Muppets
guy.
all the way back in 1961. In Jimmy Dean's autobiography, he said, quote unquote, that he treated Rolf, the puppet, as if he were real. And there was so much destruction. You got to realize, I understand, we probably saved 500,000-600,000 lives by popping off the atomic bombs. But we cooked children in their mother's wombs. We cooked old people. We cooked young, innocent children by the tens of thousands that had nothing to do with the war or anything else. They're playing with their dolls, and we nuke two complete cities. That leaves a reincarnation rift. Where are those souls? So many. 80,000 in Nagasaki, 140,000 in Hiroshima. And we ended entire genetic bloodlines, came to a slamming halt that day. No telling what they would have produced in the future. Yes, we saved 100, maybe 300, 400,000 lives. The Japanese government was taking their whole country kamikaze. There's parallels going on today.
What we should have done, Gary, is just dropped it on Hirohito, and that would have ended it right there indeed. That's a tough call. The people who made that decision had a horrible decision to make. No winners there, really. No winners at all. We're going to come back. Another hour to go of open lines here. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Lots of information that we send out on a regular basis. Like us on Facebook. More to come when we come back.